From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, the latest on that earthquake in Chile.
But first, to a major decision on campaign finance from the U.S. Supreme Court today. In a 5-4 ruling, justices did away with rules that have been in place since the Watergate era, rules that put a cap on how much a donor can contribute in total to candidates, political parties, and political action committees per election. Now, the court left in place limits on how much can be donated to each candidate per election, but still a lot of questions, Robin, I know you and I both have about this. Let's bring in Emily Bazelon, legal affairs editor at Slate. Emily, first, just explain what exactly this means.
So we're talking about the limits Congress set that are overall. So right now you can give $5,200 to a candidate in a 2-year election cycle. But the total you can give split among candidates is a little more than $48,000. Then you can also give extra money for PACs and political parties. But there is this cap that prevents you from writing, say, a $1 million check. That cap is now gone. And the question is what the practical import of that will be in terms of what kinds of checks get written in what kinds of circumstances.
And that question is very worrying for Fred Wertheimer, who we spoke to today. He's at the campaign finance group Democracy 21. And he put this together with Citizens United from 4 years ago. Here's what he said.
This court is on a path. It's out to destroy the campaign finance laws by claiming they do not prevent corruption and the appearance of corruption when it is as clear as it can be, and it's been clear since the 1970s, that that's precisely what these laws do prevent.
Emily, what about that reaction?
Well, I understand it, because one of the most striking things about the majority opinion by Chief Justice Roberts is the very narrow definition of preventing corruption or the appearance of corruption. Roberts basically says that Congress is only allowed to regulate if there's actual bribery at stake. The whole idea of writing a big check so that you get influence, so that you have a candidate's ear, so that maybe they take a position that's more favorable to you, he really discounts all of that as a justification for campaign finance reform. And so for people like Fred Wertheimer, who have worked on this issue for many years, that must be enormously frustrating.
Yeah. And Emily, Robin here, just tell us a little more specifically, because we're throwing a lot of numbers out, exactly what this means. I mean, right now, there's a cap on limits on, there's a limit on individual contributions to candidates for president or for Congress. These are federal limits. It's $2,600 an election, right? That's the individual. And the rule.
Exactly. Yeah. And so then it goes up to $5,200 if you're thinking of the primary and the general election in 1-2-year cycle.
And the ruling today was about the overall contribution. So explain more about how they collide.
Well, you can still technically only give $5,200 per candidate per 2-year cycle. The question is, what kind of loophole will be opened by lifting the cap on what you can give overall? And in his dissent, Justice Breyer lays out 3 different distinct ways in which he thinks that it will be easy to write $1 million checks that appear to be divvied up among many different candidates or appear to go only to the political party, but instead really are being funneled back to one individual candidate in a way where that will make that candidate very grateful for this enormous gift that one wealthy person has given.
Well, and this was a case that was brought by a Republican activist, Sean McCutcheon of Hoover, Alabama. And he tried to give what was for him a symbolic amount of $1,776 to too many candidates. In other words, he was giving it to many candidates. He was staying under the $2,600 limit per candidate, but he gave it to so many that he exceeded the overall limit.
Exactly. And he's a great plaintiff for this case, because if you think about the idea of giving small, relatively small amounts of money to lots of different candidates, it's hard to see what the problem with that is. I think the issue for the dissenters and for Congress were all the ways that, in fact, those small gifts can be bundled together so that they exert influence with the party as a whole or with, in the end, 1 or 2 candidates.
So in effect, though, he won because the court is now saying, yes, you can give 1776 to as many candidates as you want, and if you, there's no cap on your overall contributions anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what happened.
Now, Justice Roberts made the argument that has been made by people who like this decision, which is that it's about free speech and you should be able to give to whoever you want to, I guess, however much you want to. Justice Thomas, I know, was the sole voice for striking down even the cap on how much you can give to candidates. And Justice Breyer came out with a dissent and said this eviscerates the nation's campaign finance laws. What did Justice Kennedy, who's typically in the middle on these decisions, say?
He didn't say anything. He just joined Chief Justice Roberts' decision. And I don't think that's surprising because I think the conservatives on the court are basically united here. It is true that Thomas would have gone even further than Roberts went, but he is still a very strong vote, obviously, for getting rid of this particular cap.
What about the issue of disclosure? The people who say that this was a good decision say, look, these are campaign contributions. We can see who makes them. It's not secret money in the way that some of our newer campaign apparatuses are at this point. Super PACs, I'm thinking of.
Right. I think that's the best argument if you're worried about good government, because when you think about the impact of Citizens United and the way in which these so-called independent groups have become enormously influential, and a lot of the donations to those groups are secret, then you could argue that we're better off being able to see the amount of money wealthy donors are giving directly to candidates. I think that is pretty much the best argument. The problem is that if you're worried about the relative influence of a small number of very wealthy people, then the combined effect of this opinion and Citizens United is to enormously increase the impact they can have on elections.
Yeah, you mentioned the Citizens United. Again, this is the decision in 2010 that corporations and labor unions could spend as much on campaign advocacy as long as it wasn't connected to an individual candidate or campaign. And that, of course, meant tons of undisclosed money to super PACs for ads for things like issue campaigns that were sort of about candidates but didn't really mention candidates. And people have seen these decisions as chipping away at the limits that, as we said, were put on after the Watergate era. Going back to Justice Thomas, what is your sense, Emily? He was the only voice for striking down what seems like one of the only caps left, the limit on how much you can spend on one candidate, $2,600 an election or a little more. What is the sense that that's where this is headed?
Well, right. That is the big thing that is left from campaign finance reform. And the reason the other conservative justices didn't go there the way Thomas did was that the base limit, as it's called, was just not challenged in this case. So Sean McCutcheon wasn't trying to say, I want to give more than $2,600 per race per candidate. The next person, though, could certainly bring that challenge. And the language about corruption, the very narrow definition of corruption that Roberts used, really sets up that next challenge.
Emily, after Citizens United, President Obama came out and said, Congress, do something about this. If you want to do something about this, do something. Will Congress be able to do anything about this decision if they want to?
Right. I mean, interestingly, Roberts basically has the same rhetorical tactic. He says, here, Congress, here are these various other things you could do if you're worried about people circumventing these limits and giving million-dollar checks to one person. You can make tighter earmark restrictions. You can make tighter transfer rules. Just go ahead. The problem is, I just don't think we should rely on this Congress to do much of anything. It's not been effective at passing legislation. And so, to me, while I understand the call, I think the reality of this is that we will not see this kind of new campaign finance reform.
Emily Bazelon, senior editor at Slate. Thanks, as always.
Thanks so much for having me.